Hi, my name's Matt. Welcome to the Reach One Evangelism Training Session 1. It's a course of 3 sessions on conversational evangelism. And the course is called Reach One because it's based on the idea that each one of us can reach one person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when we think of evangelism, we think of a large public arena with someone standing up front and preaching God's word and calling people to respond, and certainly evangelism can happen that way. But in these 3 sessions, I want to talk with you about evangelism happening in conversation. How do we talk about Jesus and what we believe about him? And so in each session, we will look at the Bible. We'll look at some practical tools that can help us think carefully about the gospel, and we will think of some personal ways that we can put those tools into practice in our lives. I want to begin with a couple of definitions for you. As we talk about evangelism, let me define that for you. The word evangelism simply means telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Telling others about the gospel or good news of Jesus Christ. That's what evangelism is. It's simply talking about the gospel. And that's something that we don't need to be intimidated by or afraid of or feel awkward about. If it has become your story, if the good news of Jesus has become good news to you and you've put your faith in him, then evangelism doesn't need to be something that's awkward or hard to talk about. Sometimes I will ask people what their favorite restaurant is in Los Angeles, and they usually get really excited and tell me about that restaurant and tell me where it is and tell me to look it up on Yelp or something like that and their favorite dish there. In the same way, if we've found the gospel of Jesus to be good news to us, then evangelism is simply being ready and able to talk about that with others. Let me give you another definition, the definition of gospel. If evangelism is telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what does gospel mean? Here's a definition of that word. Gospel is life-changing good news about what God is accomplishing through Jesus. It is life-changing good news about what God is accomplishing through Jesus. The word gospel, in fact, originally, when Jesus began to use it, was not a church word or a religious word. It was a political word. It was a word used by the Roman Empire to announce news that would change the Roman Empire and life for its citizens and change their lives for the better. If there was a new Caesar on the throne, it would be announced as a gospel. If a battle was won, it would be announced as a gospel. If the empire's boundaries were expanded, it would be announced as a gospel. Something that was changing the lives of the people in the Roman Empire for the better. And Jesus came along and he picked up that word gospel to describe what God was accomplishing through him. And so the gospel is life-changing good news about what God is accomplishing through Jesus. And evangelism is simply telling others about that gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned before, that can happen preaching and proclaiming God's word in a big public space, but it can also happen simply through conversations. And I want you to consider with me in this session how to grow in confidence in having that conversation. And I want to begin by reading to you some words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. These are words that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and I want you to hear what he said to them. He says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken." That's from Psalm 116, by the way. Paul quotes that psalm, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Then he goes on to say, "With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence." Do you hear the confidence in Paul to say, here's what I believe, and it's because of what I believe that I speak? That's what it sounds like to be confident in conversations about the gospel, to base what you say simply on what you have come to know about Jesus and what you believe about him. So I want to do a little exercise with you. I want you to take a minute and I want you to think about what you believe about God and what he has revealed through his Son. What are the attributes of God? What are words that describe God? How you have experienced him, what you've come to know about him, what you believe about him. In fact, if you're in a place where you can take out a piece of paper and a pen, write down, just begin to write down some words and phrases that describe what you know and believe to be true about God. And to help you do that, I want to offer just a song, one of Tommy Walker's songs, These Are the Names of God. And let this song help you to focus your mind and your heart on how you have experienced God and who you know and believe him to be. So listen, and as you do, write down some words and names and phrases of your own.
The beginning and the ending, the creator. These are the names of God. Mighty warrior, consuming fire. Abba Father. These are the names of God. Lion of Judah, firm foundation, a high tower. The names of God, gentle whisper, intercessor, he's our helper. Yeah, these are the names of God. Messiah, our Redeemer, the Rewarder, yeah, these are the names of God, yeah. There is power in his name, there is healing in his name, there's salvation in his name, let us sing and celebrate, oh, we celebrate your Lord.
Well, hopefully you were able to think of quite a few and maybe write down several. I've done this exercise in our Reach One class at CA and have been able to fill a whiteboard, and I could keep going with all the words and phrases that are true of God. We have a lot of good news to talk about. There are a lot of wonderful truths about God that we believe. A lot of ways that we can tell others that we have experienced Him. And so I want to encourage you with the names of God and with the attributes and words and phrases that you wrote down, that you have a lot to talk about when it comes to who your God is and the good news that we have received from Him through Jesus Christ. Throughout Christian history, another way that people have talked about confidence in their faith is the use of creeds. And if you have studied Christian history, if you have grown up in the church, maybe if you've come from a tradition that speaks the creeds together, then you might be familiar with that language. But a creed is simply a statement of what we believe as followers of Jesus Christ. So the Nicene Creed, for instance, is a historical statement of faith that's been made by followers of Jesus for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's a statement that simply says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. That's the universal truth of the church, not the Roman Catholic Church. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's the historical creed. And notice three times the creed says, I believe. And if you and I are going to be people who grow in confidence in talking to others about the good news of Jesus, doing conversational evangelism, then we need to consider, what do we believe about the gospel? What do you believe? What do you know of the gospel? It may be before you really grow in confidence in evangelism that you need to spend some time reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. You might need to search for that Nicene Creed, Google N-I-C-E-N-E, Creed, and look that up and consider those statements that you also believe. What do you believe about Jesus and the gospel? How would you tell others about that? There are three examples in Scripture where Paul has to address this issue in the New Testament. He writes a letter to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, and to the Ephesians. And in each of those three letters, he's addressing this question of what do we believe about Jesus? And I want you to consider what he says to each community in these three letters. In the first one, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes this. He says, O foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. And let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not, for the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. He uses some strong language there to shake them up a little bit and to say, wait a minute, what do you really believe about the gospel? Do you believe that the gift of the Spirit of God is given to you because you earned it by obeying the law and becoming righteous on your own? But he clarifies it, of course not. The Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. He's correcting what they believe about the gospel. Without that correction, the Galatian community had begun to preach a message of the gospel that didn't just rely on the work of Christ and the grace of God, but it added to that the need for us to earn our own righteousness by keeping the law. And Paul has to say, hold on, that's not what we believe. In the Corinthian letter, he addresses a slightly different issue. He says this to them in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something so evil that even the pagans don't do it. And I'm told that you have a man in your church who's living in sin with his father's wife, and you're so proud of yourselves. Why aren't you mourning and sorrow and shame? And why haven't you removed this man from your fellowship? He goes on to say this, that how terrible that you should boast about your spirituality, and yet you let this sort of thing go on. Don't you realize that even if one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be affected? What's Paul saying here? He's correcting another misunderstanding of the gospel to say that if you've come to Jesus Christ and you've received the grace of God and you've received the gift of the Spirit, then there are things in your life that must change, that will change because of the work of God, because of the new life that he is producing in us through our faith. So that if we continue on in sin and we don't make any big deal about it, we just let sin happen and we say, well, we're so spiritual that we can sin, we can let others sin, and it's not a big deal, then Paul's saying, no, you're missing the point of the gospel. Because again, the gospel isn't just good news, it's life-changing good news of what God's accomplishing through Jesus. That's the gospel. And so Paul says, hold on. Before you go and proclaim a gospel that says it doesn't matter how you live, it doesn't matter if sin continues in your life, then you're missing the point. It's in the letter to the Ephesians that Paul really captures what we believe is true about the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, he says this, God saved you by his special favor, that's his grace, when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The gospel is about the grace of God that produces a new life in us. The gospel is life-changing good news about what God is accomplishing through Jesus. And you and I have to know that gospel and know what we believe about it before we can confidently converse with others about our faith. But if we can be confident in that, then we can talk about the gospel with others. And it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And so would you, along with me, would you go to the Gospels? Would you go to the New Testament? Would you become more aware of what Scripture tells us about the gospel so that you and I can grow in knowing and believing what the Bible tells us about Jesus? So the next time we're in a conversation with someone and we have the opportunity to talk about the gospel, we can say, let me tell you what I believe. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you will listen also to the next session as we consider the importance of compassion in conversational evangelism. Send us out and we will go. Send your power down, let it flow. Lord, take us to the whole wide world. Oh, we pray, yeah, yeah. Every tribe and every tongue, and it's your